Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. This morning I am joined by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions this morning. Hi, Teresa.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things? How are you? How was your week?
My week was wonderful. I got to spend some time out at the Wright County Horticulture Society, and I gave them a little talk on humane critter control. Hello, everybody in Wright County.
I had a great time out
there. No, it's been a wonderful week, and just like everybody wants to garden, and you can't garden yet, and it's just very tense.
No, it is tense, and that's kind of what, not to be doom and gloom here, and I was looking at the forecast for this coming week, praying for rain. And I'm getting a little nervous, and I wanted to ask you, when you talk to your fellow master gardeners and other gardeners and the folks you meet at your different appearances, are people as worried as I am?
I think people are. Yep, we're trying not to voice it and trying to be optimistic, but it's so droughty and so dry, especially in the southern part of the state here. So, it's kind of scary. We just don't know what's going to happen with the no snow cover that we had and the drought and how the trees and the shrubs are going to respond to it. They look like they're budding out. I see them budding out on the freeways, but it's just kind of scary still.
Yeah, and at least I know weather, of course, changes all the time by the minute, but it looks like, according to this forecast, we only have maybe 20-30% chance of showers toward the end of the week.
Toward the end of the week, and maybe a little snow that'll disappear really quick. So.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, we want those wet springs, please.
Out of our control, except I suppose there comes a point where we can water, obviously watching our ordinances in various cities.
Right.
But we can water, and we should be careful about that.
Yep.
Okay, let me give the phone number. It's also our text number. We're already getting garden questions and lawn questions. So any kind of a lawn or garden question, we welcome yours today, as we always do, and we always tend to get busy. So if you have a question, by all means, let's hear from you sooner rather than later. 651-461-9226. Okay, boy, they did come in, a whole bunch of them.
That's good.
Last week, the texter says, you shared how to test if old seeds were viable. Can you repeat what that process? I don't remember that question, but maybe you were listening. I'm not sure.
I wasn't listening last week. I was teaching a class. But what you can do is you can, I believe that Julie has a seed testing video on the Extension website. But just think about taking 10 of those seeds and putting them in like a Ziploc bag, only you put them on top and surround them with a damp paper towel. Put them in the Ziploc bag and maybe put it up in your refrigerator for a week or so, however long the seeds are supposed to take to sprout, to germinate. You take it down. The Ziploc bag can be opened just a little bit. You take it down. You're making like a greenhouse. And what you're trying to see is how many of those 10 seeds sprouted. That will give you the percentage of the viable seeds that you have. Just make it easier for 10, and then you have, you know, if one sprouts, it's a 10%. If five sprouts, 50%. And if none sprout, you maybe just toss the seeds in the compost bin. But that will give you an idea of how viable the seeds are, how they're going to germinate. Then that will help you decide, okay, I want to sow a little more thickly, or, hey, they're still looking really good. I got 8 or 9 of them to sprout. I can just plant them as normal.
Okay. Listener wants to know, can we start watering our trees? We have a stressed Japanese lilac.
I would definitely water your tree if your soil is thawed out. So go about 5 or maybe about 2 feet away from the base of the Japanese lilac from the trunk and put down a skewer that you might use for barbecue or something like that. If that skewer goes into the soil really easily down to about 6 to 8 inches, then you know the soil has thawed out. And then do go ahead and water, again, remembering Denny's watering restrictions note. Be careful if your city has watering restrictions. And also if you see that the buds on the trees and the shrubs are swelling, they're coming to life, they're becoming active, then yes, do go ahead and water, especially if your soil is dry and you're able to.
All right. This texter says, good morning, love your show, thank you. This crazy weather has caused my tulips to be up 4 inches and bleeding heart 2 inches with freezing temps forecast overnight for the next week. Do I need to cover them? That's one question. I read on the internet that the tops may freeze, but the plants will come back. That seems such a waste of time and plants. Instead of spreading sheets all over my baby plants, could I just invert flower pots over each clump? Would that work? At least my bloodroot, which are normally the first up and flowering, are still slumbering. What do you think of those comments or questions?
Those are comments are right on. I saw even some of my plants were coming up yesterday. If you're worried about it, now the ground's going to be warmer than the frost, but the frost may set on the ground. So you could get some frost damage on the foliage. The buds are still underground for the most part, so that won't impact your tulip flowers. However, yes, do go ahead on these cold nights where it's going to dip below 30, 32 degrees. Make sure you've watered the plant really well the day before. That's always helpful for them to be stronger. And then do give them a little covering. You can invert flower pots. You can toss some leaves over them. If you have bags of leaves sitting around that are kind of floppy and half full, those make great coverings. Just sit on the plant overnight and then lift them off in the morning. Put sheets on. Something like that will be really wonderful. If you forget or they get a little frost damage, as it does say, they will grow out of the frost damage. It's not going to kill them. They're cool. They're hardy. They'll be okay. They'll come back from the roots or from below ground. They'll be okay.
That's good news.
Yeah.
This listener said I had put on.
They're hardy. They'll be okay. They'll come back from the roots or from below ground. They'll be okay.
That's good news.
Yeah.
This listener said I had put on a plastic tree guard on a young Canada chokecherry tree last fall. Do you think it's time to remove that or should I wait? It seems like everything is happening a month early this spring.
You know, see, if it's starting to come on a dormancy, you could do that. I probably would wait unless you're going to put another protection over that. If you may want to go to the garden store and get some hardware cloth or your lumber yard, get some hardware cloth and make a cylinder and then take off the plastic guard. And in this case, I would carefully cut it. So you're taking off two halves. Pulling it apart is really hard and can damage the trunks of the trees. And then just use that plastic or that cylinder of hardware cloth, and you can leave that on 24/7 until the bush gets big enough to touch it. So you never have to take it off. The plastic, I'd hesitate to take it off quite yet, just because there's not a lot for the rabbits to eat yet, and they would love to eat that bush.
I was thinking about our conversation over the last, 3 months or more, and our discussion about seeding, about dormant seeding.
Dormant seeding.
I'm thinking, am I going to have a chance before the snow flies? Well, my goodness, look at us today. Here's the 16th of March and no snow.
Yep.
I guess we just have to wait and see what happens. And then, again, back to the watering plan.
Back to the watering, yep.
Mm-hmm. Let's do this, Teresa. Let's take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in. We have more questions coming in as we speak. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions this morning, those lawn and garden type of questions, at 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering your lawn and garden questions this morning. We have a bunch, both text and phone calls. I'll tell you what, let's do this. We have folks waiting online. Let's pick up on where they are. First up, Pat, calling in, I believe, from Forest Lake this morning. Hi, Pat. What's your question for Teresa?
I have a question. Last fall, I had a soil sample done, and I was very high in phosphorus because I was over energetic with horse manure. So, given that we haven't had any rain or snow, I'm wondering what I have to do this spring to augment that. And then, can I use old compost?
You can't, Pat, that's a good question. And it's probably not just because of the horse manure, but we're just naturally high in phosphorus here in the southern part of the state. We're just very, very high in phosphorus. So what you want to do is compost would be good. You can just watch your plants to see if they're struggling at all, and then you may want to do another soil test at that time. Otherwise, you can also just look for fertilizers that have a lower middle number, that P, that you want that to go down just a little bit. So you can, instead of doing a 10, 10, 10, maybe a 10, 5, 10, if you're doing any granular fertilizers. Otherwise, don't worry about it. It's not going to impact the plants in such a negative way. They would have warned you if it was super, super, super high and there was some issues there. But for the most part, just high phosphorus means there's just enough there for the plants. And do be careful, though, with the runoff of the soil, because that phosphorus can move through the water and can get into our waterways. And that's what causes a lot of the green up. So just water carefully. Keep the water on your soil if possible, and just use compost, and you should be just fine with that. And thanks for getting a soil test.
Yeah, great idea. And if you want to do that, what is the process now going through
U of M? You can go to CFANS, and you can actually bring your soil to the University of Minnesota. They have a little parking area there and everything. We just had a talk on this just this week for our Master Gardener meeting. It was wonderful. But there's a lot of, or you can do it online where you can get download the sheet, fill out the sheet, and then you can mail the little sample of soil to the soil lab, and then they'll send back the results to you. And it looks like they've got a new way of doing the results, so it's a lot more user-friendly. It makes more sense. It's more visual, and it really can help you just decipher what's going on a little bit easier.
Excellent. Good idea. Let's go back to the phones. Mary Lou is calling in from Minneapolis. Mary Lou. Hello, Mary Lou. Goodbye, heart. Mary Lou, what is your question for Teresa?
I'm interested in the humane pest control that you talked about in Wright mm-hmm. County. Mm-hmm. You know, when we get the Asian beetles and the box elder bugs in our house, mm-hmm. I don't like to kill them.
Right. So the easiest way, when these guys come inside, they're just coming inside because that's where it's warmer. They're not coming inside to look for food or anything like that, because you don't have good food for them inside the house. And they'll probably stay near the windows. They'll probably be near the light. So if you can, attract them to an area with a light, especially at night sometimes, and then they can all kind of congregate there. You can gently sweep them up into a container and then just put them outside again. If you can find out where they're coming in, that's helpful, but sometimes the little cracks are hard to find where they're coming in. Try not to squish a lot of them, because they can make smells and stains and things like that in your house. But that's the easiest way to just safely get them back outside again, and they'll probably just go dormant outside. If they die, they die. That's life in the big city. But that's the easiest way, with that light at night, to attract them to that area. You can even put maybe a dish of warm water or something there, too. If they're thirsty, they can drink some water before you toss them outside.
Okay. Again, our phone number is the same as our text number, 651-461-9226. Let's take another phone call before we get back to the text messages. Cheryl, calling in from Minneapolis, I believe. Cheryl, thank you for waiting. What is your question?
Good morning. I'm leaving the country for about a month in April. And normally, I mean, this is where we're going in April because it's early. I wouldn't worry about my plants being watered in April. But mm-hmm. should I hire somebody to water for me?
You may want to, excuse me, especially if you have some plants that are very special to you. If you have anything in containers, obviously they'll need watering. Or if you can get a timer on your sprinkler, set up a sprinkler for just that one or two areas that you might need some extra care for. It's hard to know if we're going to go straight into summer, it's going to be really hot, or if we're going to have a cool April. If it's a cool, damp April, you'll be fine. We don't know that. My crystal ball is not working, so I can't help you with that. But yeah, you may want to, if there's some special plants that you know you, that they were kind of stressed last year and it was kind of droughty and you're just a little worried, maybe just have somebody come in once or twice during the month and give that those few plants a good watering. Make sure, though, that they are disconnecting the hose, turning off the spigot so that you don't get a burst hose and a burst spigot issue inside if it gets cold at night.
All right, very good. Texter wants to know a question about transplanting maple and oak trees. How and when do you transplant them? How big or small should they be?
Well, the smaller that you can access these trees, the better. The root systems are smaller. You'll do less damage. They'll recover more quickly. I would do that as soon as you can get into the soil and move them. Try not to disturb the roots. Dig as much as you can. Have the other hole already ready for them, and then move them if you can. Quickly, and then just water really well. Any plant that you transplant, especially these trees and shrubs, you have to treat it like a baby. You have to really care for it very carefully for 2 to 3 years after you transplant it. The bigger the plant, the older the tree, the longer you have to treat it like that. So if you're doing a spaded plant, something where they're doing like a bald and burlap, that's a 9 to 10 year commitment that you have to just really take care of that plant and water it and help it get adjusted, because it goes through such a shock compared to a small, tiny transplant. So that's something to consider when you're transplanting. But dig them as soon as you can work the soil. Get them moved into their new spots as quickly as possible. Don't plant them too deep. Plant them as they were growing in the soil or even a little bit higher. And make sure that you look up first before you plant them and there's no overhead lines.
Okay. Question is watering my new shrubs and trees once per week enough right now?
Well, it depends. It depends on how much water you're going to put down, what kind of soil you have, how stressed the trees are, what the conditions are, if it's cool, if it's damp, if it's hot, if it's dry. It depends. So if you're worried that your plant is not getting enough water or too much water, just go outside of the area, maybe give the plants a little water, how you would normally water them, wait a day or two, and then go back out to that plant area, go a little ways away from the plant so you're not going to impact the roots, and dig down 5 or 6 inches. And what is that soil doing? Is that soil soaking wet? Is it bone dry? That will tell you how you can water. And then you just kind of have to gauge what's going on at the humidity levels, the moisture levels, how much rain we get, how much snow we get, how much cold, how much heat we get. And it really depends on what your soil is. So I can't give you a firm answer. It depends.
Okay. I know we have to break for, well, we don't have to, but we will and want to break for.
It's those FEC rules and things like that.
We got to break for weather, among other things. But it took me a while to translate this in my own mind, because I think a lot of our text messages may come by audio, you know, somebody dictating.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And let me just tell you, I finally figured out what this meant.
Okay.
Texter says, I planted news. N-O-O-S-E, like a rope, noose, you know.
Okay.
By, B-Y, and then capital R-H-E-A, like a woman's name, Rhea. Bush is this, and I finally see what they meant. I planted Newspirea.
Newspirea. Oh, Denny, you're like Sherlock Holmes here. Wow.
Anyway, this listener planted those.
Yeah, that audio text, sometimes audio is a little goofy. I know I use it a lot.
Those bushes, anyway, this summer, and the rabbits have chewed them down to the ground. Will they come back? Look in your crystal ball. What do you think? Will they come back?
I'm going to say probably, if you took care of them well last year. They have a good rootstock on them. So what I want you to do right now, or not right now, but today, sometime person who sent in this text, I want you to take your phone or your camera or whatever it is and go out and take a picture of those spirea. And then make a note in October, protect spirea on your calendar with that picture so that you remember why you want to protect the spirea. In October, protect spirea on your calendar with that picture so that you remember why you want to protect the spirea so it doesn't happen again this spring. Now, the rabbits will prune the spirea down. They do a nice job pruning it right down to the ground. But if that's not the look you're going for, where you want it to come back full from the ground, it can be a bit disappointing. So go ahead. That probably will be fine. I would probably just make sure you're giving it enough water. You may even want to put some protection on it now to protect the brand new growth that may pop up if that growth comes up before we get a lot of other things for the bunnies to eat.
Okay. Hang on, Teresa. We'll take a bit of a break here for weather. Maybe when we come back, let's talk a little bit about the Arboretum.
Excellent.
And what's going on there. Mm-hmm. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions for about another half hour. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We're here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions at 651-461-9226. We always like to mention the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. Just a wonderful resource, fun place to visit really any time of the year. But I wanted to ask you what's going on right now, Teresa.
What's going on right now? First of all, I was just giggling at it. We've reached our high already today.
Yes, yay. I'm afraid that's
Minnesota.
True.
Sorry. Okay, let's get back to work here. So there's a lot going on at the ARB, as usual. So because there's no snow, you can be walking and driving, I think, on 3 Mile Drive, head out and look at all the stuff that's going on, the buds that are swelling on the magnolias and the maples that are swelling. You can start to see the flowers on them. Did you know that your maple tree has flowers? Yes, it does. So you can go out and see that there. They also have the flower show going on through tomorrow. So if you need some spring, some beauty, head out to the Arboretum and enjoy the flower show inside. There's some orchids blooming and the conservatory. There's a lot, and the snowdrops are coming up. The double snowdrops are coming up. Those are our spring bulbs, some of our earlier spring bulbs, and they're just beautiful, those early minor bulbs. There's a lot going on out there. So make sure you get your reservation because it helps with parking. You have your reservation. Bring your family and friends, especially if they're in for the holiday over the weekend, and enjoy our beautiful arboretum. It's a true gem for our region. We're so
lucky. And you make those reservations online.
Online, yep.
Yep. All right, great place. Texter wants to know, what do you think of the practice of painting tree trunks white to ward off insects?
I don't know about how it works to ward off insects. I have not heard about that. I know in very hot climates, like in the Southwest, they will often paint the tree trunks white just to reflect some of the heat from the sun. I have not heard about painting it for insects. I'm not quite sure. Now I have research again. Thank you for that.
Little homework. All right.
Little homework.
We kind of touched on this last half hour. Denny and Teresa, tulips are coming up. Should we cover them or just let them be?
It's totally up to you. If it's going to get really cold and you don't like the look of burned and damaged leaves, go ahead and cover them. It's just at night and then lift it up in the morning again. It's not a big deal. If you're okay with a little damage on the leaves, just leave them up.
Okay.
And you don't have to cover.
Another text from a listener says, we dug up 4 ornamental grasses last week because we had a fence installed and they needed to be relocated. Mm-hmm. We transplanted them yesterday. Should we water them?
Yes, please do water them. They will be wonderful. And thank you for saving them.
Another question, should I remove the leaves that are on top of my clematis?
That's up to you. I would start taking some of them off just to help that soil start to warm up a little bit. Do understand that the more you take off, the soil will warm up. And then if we get really cold again, you could see some damage on some of the stems that come up. So I would just start taking some off. If you just have one bag of leaves, you can take it off and then just be ready to plop it on over. If we go really, 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 really cold, like say 25 or 20, but otherwise the clematis will just come up as it comes out of dormancy and it should just be fine.
All right. Here's a question we get from time to time. Our rural yard is very lumpy. We think it's night crawlers. It's also full of gophers and voles. What do we do so it's easier to walk in the yard?
Just wait. The gophers and the moles, if it's, did they say voles or moles?
They said voles. Gophers and voles with a V.
Okay, with a V. Okay. So the gophers are possibly out there eating some of the grubs. The voles aren't eating any of the grubs. So you may want to double check to make sure you do have some night crawlers in there. There's not much you can really do, because if you're going to take a roller and roll it and compress the soil, the night crawlers will just come back again and make it lumpy again. And compressing the soil just makes it hard on the roots of the plants. I'm going to suggest that maybe you check out the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. Look on the lawn page. I know they do have some information about some things you can do on that. It's just kind of what happens sometimes when you get these critters in there. And yeah, the gophers, just be careful with the gophers if you're going to use the gopher killer or whatever you're going to do, that you just do be careful, because now you have the lumpy from the night crawlers are one thing, but when you get the gopher holes and things like that, that can be really painful if you twist or break an ankle. So just do be careful. You may want to address those issues.
This listener, Teresa, wants to know, when is the best time to move pine trees with a tree spade?
I would probably do it in the early spring. I would say, though, that I would talk to a certified arborist about that, or do go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. That's a lot of damage. I would probably do it early spring, as soon as you possibly can, as soon as the ground can be dug. Get those trees in, and then do remember that the bigger the tree is, the longer you have to take special care of it in its new location. Have that new location already dug, and sprinklers or underground watering, however you're going to do it, already taken care of when you get those trees in there. And then be very diligent about watering them.
Okay. I know we talked about tulips coming up, but this listener says, do I need to cover my shrubs if the buds have opened up?
No, I really wouldn't, unless you were going to look at a temperature like, say, 20 degrees. So it's so sharp and so different. If it's, 30, 25, I would just let it go, especially for our hardy shrubs in our area. If you have something that's very tender, maybe a Japanese maple or something that's very zone iffy for you, then I would cover it on those really cold nights. But if it's an established shrub, you may get some damage to the buds, but most of them should be a little hardier. And yes, they're coming out, but they can handle some of this fluctuation.
All right, this time I want to ask your help in translating this one. And it's a simple question in that it's, first of all, it's not a long question, but what is the best blank to buy for our climate? And the word they put is spelled Forseity.
Oh, forsythia.
Okay.
This is forsythia.
I thought about that, but I thought it's too short of a word. But
it's
all right,
too short. I think that's what they were going for. It's a forsythia, which is a shrub that blooms yellow flowers in the spring, and it blooms on old wood. There are some. I would go for a dwarf variety if you can, because they can get big. I don't know the exact one that you would want to get, but there are a few that are hardy for our climates here. Look for the one that's hardy in your zone. If you're a zone 4 or 5, you should be okay. A zone 3, probably you're not going to find anything unless you have a microclimate. But look for something hardy to zone 4 at least, and that should get you by.
Okay. Thank you for the help there. Mm-hmm.
And remember, it blooms on old wood like your lilac. So it's setting its blooms on the wood it's growing this year. It's setting the flowers for next year.
It's good
so
to
that
know.
Will just impact how you prune it.
Absolutely. This listener, Teresa, has different varieties of arborvitae. They said, when I bought them, the tags stated the height and width of the trees. They are growing way taller than stated. Can I top them to stop the upward growth? If yes, when?
the tags lied. And it's good to look at the tags. That's good. I always tell people, though, you know, a plant doesn't get to 5 feet and just stop growing. If it stops growing, it dies. So it's still going to keep growing. So you have to kind of like keep pruning it down to that size that you want and understand that 25-foot arborvitae will probably get to 30 or 35 feet. If you prune it earlier in its growth, you can slow the time. You can take a longer time. It takes longer to get to that 25 or 35 foot. Topping a tree is never the best thing, but if that's what you have, longer to get to that 25 or 35 foot. Topping a tree is never the best thing, but if that's what you have to do because it's going to be up in the wires or something, you can do that. I would do that as soon as possible. Just get out there and you may want to have an arborist do this. If it's getting up that high, you don't want to be on a stepladder or something with any kind of chainsaw or pruning things. It's better to have a professional do it. And in that case, that arborist then, a professional arborist certified, would be able to tell you, this is the best way to handle this situation. They could see it in sight and handle it that way. So I would probably get a professional to do that. So it looks right, and they can give you some guidelines, what you're doing and how much to pull back.
Very good. Hang on, Teresa. A quick break is in order. We'll be back with more of our Smart Garden Show. Right now in the Twin Cities, it's 41 degrees, and it will be dropping to about 24 overnight. And as far as St. Patrick's Day, high tomorrow, partly sunny, near 34 tomorrow, and another windy day in order. All right, we'll be back. 41 degrees right now here in News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And after a little bit of technical difficulty, we are back, Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, and I. We've got a little bit of time left, Teresa, so let's see how many folks we can help out here. Could I plant, the texter says, bare root apple trees now?
Yes, go ahead and plant them.
Okay. Another one says, my daughter received a Christmas cactus several months ago, and she did not know she was supposed to remove the foil wrapping around the pot. This poor plant was swimming in water. She left it with me and with the texter. And as the plant dried out, all of the buds fell off. The leaves have finally become firm again, but there are no signs of the buds coming back. Is it too late for this plant?
The plant will be just fine. You just won't get flowers this year. Just if you want to, you could even repot it at this time if you're afraid that the soil is still wet. But if the soil is drying out and the leaves seem to be recovering, it just means that it's just going to miss the flowers this year. You'll get flowers next year.
Okay. Do amaryllis bulbs get old? Texter wants to know. Had my bulbs in full sun last summer. Didn't show any signs of flowers. The bulbs are about 12 years old.
If they could get old. I would give it another try this year to make sure they have lots of full sun and that maybe give them some nutrition, some fertilizer or something too as they're actively growing outside. Give them one more chance, and if you're not just happy with having then strappy leaves and that's you want more from it, then maybe it's time for them to head to the compost heap.
Okay. Do amaryllis bulbs get old? Where are we? That's just a repeat. When do I redo my iris beds, spring or fall? Would compost also be better to add or potting soil to the soil?
Okay. If they're the iris, the bearded iris that sit with the corms above the ground, best time is in August. Once they finish blooming, you cut back the fan of leaves, and then you can just transplant them and move them around at that time. If they're Siberian iris, I'm not 100% sure, so I don't want to tell you the wrong thing there. It would be after they bloom. I would either dig them up first before they bloom if they're Siberian, and just understand that if you can get them right away in the spring and as soon as they're coming up, you can divide them. Otherwise, wait till they finish blooming and then divide them.
Time once again to put on your entomologist hat. Texter says, we have a few box elder and Asian beetles in the house each year, but many more this year. Some box elder bugs are large, some small. Are they reproducing in the house? What do they eat? If we cut all box elder trees, will that reduce their numbers?
don't cut the box elder trees because they'll just fly in from other places unless you hate your box elder trees and are replacing them with something else. That's up to you. They're just coming in because we just had, your house has been warmer than the outside. Sometimes the populations just get bigger, so the pressure to come inside is more. I don't know that they're reproducing in the house. They would need some moisture and some nutrition to do that. I think that you're probably just seeing maybe different stages of their growth that have come into the house and are just kind of hanging there all year or all winter. Again, just if you can, just, you know, put a light to attract them in the evening so they're not flying at you on the television. They're flying toward that light instead. And then just sweep them up carefully and then toss them back outside again. That's the easiest way. Some years you'll see a whole bunch and other years you'll hardly see any. It just depends on what's going on with the population.
Teresa, less than a couple of minutes to go on the show. You know, we haven't mentioned yet, and it's such a great resource, is the U of M Extension website.
extension.umn.edu. Oh, Denny, they have all kinds of cool information on there. There's even one whole article on the Master Gardener seed trial. So Master Gardeners try seeds and to see what varieties work for you. And they have the results on there for many different things that you might want to consider. Say, hey, the Master Gardener said this was a good variety of beans. Let me try these. And so that's an article you can find. There's a great information on resources for late winter gardening like we have now. And then what to do with winter damage if you see winter damage on your evergreens. Should you prune it? Should you not prune it? Should you wait? All those questions and others can be answered on extension.umn.edu.
It really is just loaded with information. You don't have to be a master gardener to translate that information
do you? No, it's for regular people. Master gardeners use this page so much, you'd be surprised. And there's in videos in there, too. So if you're more of a visual person, how to prune hydrangeas. Julie has a great video on that. So there's all kinds of great information. If you're a lawn person, go there.
Oh, that lawn care information is fantastic,
it's
among
just
other things.
Too much to even consider.
There is. We have to run, Teresa. Always a pleasure having you on the radio with me.
My pleasure. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks so much. That's Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions today. Now, you can get your home improvement questions answered next hour with Andy Lindis on our Home Improvement Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. This morning, I am joined by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions this morning. Hi, Teresa.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things? How are you? How was your week?
My week was wonderful. I got to spend some time out at the Wright County Horticulture Society, and I gave them a little talk on humane critter control. Hello, everybody in Wright County. I had a great time.
Good.
No, it's been a wonderful week, and just like everybody wants to garden, and you can't garden yet, and it's just very tense.
No, it is tense, and that's kind of what, not to be doom and gloom here, and I was looking at the forecast for this coming week, praying for rain, and I'm getting a little nervous, and I wanted to ask you, when you talk to your fellow master gardeners and other gardeners and the folks you meet at your different appearances, are people as worried as I am?
I think people are. Yep, we're trying not to voice it and trying to be optimistic, but it's so droughty and so dry, especially in the southern part of the state here. So, it's kind of scary. We just don't know what's going to happen with the no snow cover that we had and the drought and how the trees and the shrubs are going to respond to it. They look like they're budding out. I see them budding out on the freeways, but it's just kind of scary still.
Yeah, and at least I know weather, of course, changes all the time by the minute, but it looks like, according to this forecast, we only have maybe 20-30% chance of showers toward the end of the week.
Toward the end of the week, and maybe a little snow that'll disappear really quick.
So. Of course.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we want those wet springs, please.
Out of our control, except I suppose there comes a point where we could, you know, we can water, obviously watching our ordinances in various cities.
Right.
But we can water, and we should be careful about that.
Yep.
Okay, let me give the phone number. It's also our text number. We're already getting garden questions and lawn questions. So any kind of a lawn or garden question, we welcome yours today, as we always do, and we always tend to get busy. So if you have a question, by all means, let's hear from you sooner rather than later. 651-461-9226. Okay, boy, they did come in, a whole bunch of them.
That's good.
Last week, the texter says, you shared how to test if old seeds were viable. Can you repeat what that process? I don't remember that question, but maybe you were listening. I'm not sure.
I wasn't listening last week. I was teaching a class. But what you can do is you can, I believe that Julie has a seed testing video on the Extension website. But just think about taking 10 of those seeds and putting them in like a Ziploc bag, only you put them on top and surround them with a damp paper towel. Put them in the Ziploc bag and maybe put it up in your refrigerator for a week or so, however long the seeds are supposed to take to sprout, to germinate. You take it down. The Ziploc bag can be opened just a little bit. You take it down. You're making like a greenhouse. And what you're trying to see is how many of those 10 seeds sprouted. That will give you the percentage of the viable seeds that you have. Just make it easier for 10, and then you have, you know, if one sprouts, it's a 10%. If five sprouts, 50%. And if none sprout, you maybe just toss the seeds in the compost bin. But that will give you an idea of how viable the seeds are, how they're going to germinate. Then that will help you decide, okay, I want to sow a little more thickly, or, hey, they're still looking really good. I got 8 or 9 of them to sprout. I can just plant them as normal.
Okay. Listener wants to know, can we start watering our trees? We have a stressed Japanese lilac.
I would definitely water your tree if your soil is thawed out. So go about 2 feet away from the base of the Japanese lilac from the trunk, and put down a skewer that you might use for barbecue or something like that. If that skewer goes into the soil really easily down to about 6 to 8 inches, then you know the soil has thawed out. And then do go ahead and water again, remembering Denny's watering restrictions note. Be careful if your city has watering restrictions. And also, if you see that the buds on the trees and the shrubs are swelling, they're coming to life, they're becoming active, then yes, do go ahead and water, especially if your soil is dry and you're able to.
All right. This texter says, good morning, love your show. Thank you. This crazy weather has caused my tulips to be up 4 inches and bleeding heart 2 inches, with freezing temps forecast overnight for the next week. Do I need to cover them? That's one question. I read on the internet that the tops may freeze, but the plants will come back. That seems such a waste of time and plants. Instead of spreading sheets all over my baby plants, could I just invert flower pots over each clump? Would that work? At least my bloodroot, which are normally the first up and flowering, are still slumbering. What do you think of those comments or questions?
Those comments are right on. I saw even some of my plants were coming up yesterday. If you're worried about it, now the ground's going to be warmer than the frost, but the frost may set on the ground. So you could get some frost damage on the foliage. The buds are still underground for the most part, so that won't impact your tulip flowers. However, yes, do go ahead on these cold nights where it's going to dip below 30, 32 degrees. Make sure you've watered the plant really well the day before. That's always helpful for them to be stronger. And then do give them a little covering. You can invert flower pots. You can toss some leaves over them. If you have bags of leaves sitting around that are kind of floppy and half full, those make great coverings. Just sit on the plant overnight and then lift them off in the morning. Put sheets on. Something like that will be really wonderful. If you forget or they get a little frost damage, as it does say, they will grow out of the frost damage. It's not going to kill them. They're cool. They're hardy. They'll be okay. They'll come back from the roots or from below ground. They'll be okay.
That's good news.
Yeah.
This listener said I had put on.
They're hardy. They'll be okay. They'll come back from the roots or from below ground. They'll be okay.
That's good news.
Yeah.
This listener said I had put on a plastic tree guard on a young Canada chokecherry tree last fall. Do you think it's time to remove that, or should I wait? It seems like everything is happening a month early this spring.
You know, see, if it's starting to come on a dormancy, you could do that. I probably would wait unless you're going to put another protection over that, like if you may want to go to the garden store and get some hardware cloth, or your lumber yard, get some hardware cloth and make a cylinder, and then take off the plastic guard. And in this case, I would carefully cut it. So you're taking off two halves. Pulling it apart is really hard and can damage the trunks of the trees. And then just use that plastic, cylinder of hardware cloth, and you can leave that on 24/7 until the bush gets big enough to touch it. So you never have to take it off. The plastic, I'd hesitate to take it off quite yet, just because there's not a lot for the rabbits to eat yet, and they would love to eat that bush.
I was thinking about our conversation over the last, 3 months or more, and our discussion about seeding, about mm-hmm. dormant seeding.
Dormant
and
seeding.
I'm thinking, am I going to have a chance before the snow flies? Well, my goodness. Look at us today. Here's the 16th of March and no
yep.
snow.
Yep.
I guess we just have to wait and see what happens. And then, again, back to the watering plan.
Back to the watering, yep. Mm-hmm.
Let's do this, Teresa. Let's take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in. We have more questions coming in as we speak. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions this morning, those lawn and garden type of questions, at 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering your lawn and garden questions this morning. We have a bunch, both text and phone calls. I'll tell you what, let's do this. We have folks waiting online. Let's pick up on where they are. First up, Pat, calling in, I believe, from Forest Lake this morning. Hi, Pat. What's your question for Teresa?
I have a question. Last fall, I had a soil sample done, and I was very high in phosphorus because I was over energetic with horse manure. So, given that we haven't had any rain or snow, I'm wondering what I have to do this spring to augment that. And then, can I use old compost?
You can't, Pat, that's a good question. And it's probably not just because of the horse manure, but we're just naturally high in phosphorus here in the southern part of the state. We're just very, very high in phosphorus. So what you want to do is compost would be good. You can just watch your plants to see if they're struggling at all, and then you may want to do another soil test at that time. Otherwise, you can also just look for fertilizers that have a lower middle number, that P, that you want that to go down just a little bit. So you can, instead of doing a 10, 10, 10, maybe a 10, 5, 10, if you're doing any granular fertilizers. Otherwise, don't worry about it. It's not going to impact the plants in such a negative way. They would have warned you if it was super, super, super high and there was some issues there. But for the most part, just high phosphorus means there's just enough there for the plants. And do be careful, though, with the runoff of the soil, because that phosphorus can move through the water and can get into our waterways, and that's what causes a lot of the green up. So just water carefully. Keep the water on your soil if possible, and just use compost, and you should be just fine with that. And thanks for getting a soil test.
Yeah, great idea. And if you want to do that, what is the process now going through
U of M? You can go to CFANS, and you can actually bring your soil to the University of Minnesota. They have a little parking area there and everything. We just had a talk on this just this week just this month for our Master Gardener meeting. It was wonderful. But there's a lot of, or you can do it online where you can download the sheet, fill out the sheet, and then you can mail the little sample of soil to the soil lab, and then they'll send back the results to you. And it looks like they've got a new way of doing the results, so it's a lot more user-friendly. It makes more sense. It's more visual, and it really can help you just decipher what's going on a little bit easier.
Excellent. Good idea. Let's go back to the phones. Mary Lou is calling in from Minneapolis. Mary Lou. Hello, Mary Lou. Goodbye, heart. Mary Lou, what is your question for Teresa?
Hi. Well, I'm interested in the humane pest control that you talked about in Wright County. Mm-hmm. You know, when we get the Asian beetles and the box elder bugs in our house, mm-hmm. I don't like to kill them.
Right. So the easiest way, when these guys come inside, they're just coming inside because that's where it's warmer. They're not coming inside to look for food or anything like that because you don't have good food for them inside the house. And they'll probably stay near the windows. They'll probably be near the light. So if you can, you can attract them to an area with a light, especially at night sometimes, and then they can all kind of congregate there. You can gently sweep them up into a container and then just put them outside again. If you can find out where they're coming in, that's helpful, but sometimes the little cracks are hard to find where they're coming in. Try not to squish a lot of them because they can make smells and stains and things like that in your house. But that's the easiest way to just safely get them back outside again, and they'll probably just go dormant outside. If they die, they die. That's life in the big city. But that's the easiest way with that light at night to attract them to that area. You can even put a little, maybe a dish of warm water or something there too. If they're thirsty, they can drink some water before you toss them outside.
Okay. Again, our phone number is the same as our text number, 651-461-9226. Let's take another phone call before we get back to the text messages. Cheryl, calling in from Minneapolis, I believe. Cheryl, thank you for waiting. What is your question?
Good morning. I'm leaving the country for about a month in April. And normally, I mean, this is where we're going in April because it's early. I wouldn't worry about my plants being watered in April. But mm-hmm. should I hire somebody to water for me?
You may want to, excuse me, especially if you have some plants that are very special to you. If you have anything in containers, obviously they'll need watering. Or if you can get a timer on your sprinkler, set up a sprinkler for just that one or two areas that you might need some extra care for. It's hard to know if we're going to go straight into summer. It's going to be really hot, or if we're going to have a cool April. If it's a cool, damp April, you'll be fine. We don't know that. My crystal ball is not working, so I can't help you with that. But yeah, you may want to, if there's some special plants that you know that they were kind of stressed last year and it was kind of droughty and you're just a little worried, maybe just have somebody come in once or twice during the month and give those few plants a good watering. Make sure, though, that they are disconnecting the hose, turning off the spigot so that you don't get a burst hose and a burst spigot issue inside if it gets cold at night.
All right, very good. Texter wants to know a question about transplanting maple and oak trees. How and when do you transplant them? How big or small should they be?
Well, the smaller that you can access these trees, the better. The root systems are smaller. You'll do less damage. They'll recover more quickly. I would do that as soon as you can get into the soil and move them. Try not to disturb the roots. Dig as much as you can. Have the other hole already ready for them, and then move them if you can quickly, and then just water really well. Any plant that you transplant, especially these trees and shrubs, you have to treat it like a baby. You have to really care for it very carefully for 2 to 3 years after you transplant it. The bigger the plant, the older the tree, the longer you have to treat it like that. So if you're doing a spaded plant, something where they're doing like a bald and burlap, that's a 9 to 10 year commitment that you have to just really take care of that plant and water it and help it get adjusted, because it goes through such a shock compared to a small, tiny transplant. So that's something to consider when you're transplanting. But dig them as soon as you can work the soil. Get them moved into their new spots as quickly as possible. Don't plant them too deep. Plant them as they were growing in the soil or even a little bit higher. And make sure that you look up first before you plant them and there's no overhead lines.
Okay. Question is watering my new shrubs and trees once per week enough right now?
Well, it depends. It depends on how much water you're going to put down, what kind of soil you have, how stressed the trees are, what the conditions are, if it's cool, if it's damp, if it's hot, if it's dry. It depends. So if you're worried that your plant is not getting enough water or too much water, just go outside of the area, maybe give the plants a little water, how you would normally water them, wait a day or two, and then go back out to that plant area, go a little ways away from the plant so you're not going to impact the roots, and dig down 5 or 6 inches. And what is that soil doing? Is that soil soaking wet? Is it bone dry? That will tell you how you can water. And then just you just kind of have to gauge what's going on at the humidity levels, the moisture levels, how much rain we get, how much snow we get, how much cold, how much heat we get. And it really depends on what your soil is. So I can't give you a firm answer. It depends.
Okay. I know we have to break for, well, we don't have to, but we will and want to break for.
It's those FEC rules and things like that.
We got to break for weather, among other things. But it took me a while to translate this in my own mind, because I think a lot of our text messages may come by audio, you know, somebody dictating.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And let me just tell you, I finally figured out what this meant.
Okay.
Texter says, I planted news. N-O-O-S-E, like a rope, noose, you know.
Okay.
By, B-Y, and then capital R-H-E-A, like a woman's name, Rhea. Bush is this, and I finally see what they meant. I planted Newspirea.
Newspirea. Oh, Denny, you're like Sherlock Holmes here. Wow.
Anyway, this listener planted those.
Yeah, that audio text, sometimes audio is a little goofy. I know I use it a lot.
Those bushes, anyway, this summer, and the rabbits have chewed them down to the ground. Will they come back? Look in your crystal ball. What do you think? Will they come back?
I'm going to say probably if you took care of them well last year. They have a good rootstock on them. So what I want you to do right now, or not right now, but today, sometime person who sent in this text, I want you to take your phone or your camera or whatever it is and go out and take a picture of those spirea. And then make a note in October, protect spirea on your calendar with that picture so that you remember why you want to protect the spirea. In October, protect spirea on your calendar with that picture so that you remember why you want to protect the spirea so it doesn't happen again this spring. Now, the rabbits will prune the spirea down. They do a nice job pruning it right down to the ground. But if that's not the look you're going for, where you want it to come back full from the ground, it can be a bit disappointing. So go ahead. That probably will be fine. I would probably just make sure you're giving it enough water. You may even want to put some protection on it now to protect the brand new growth that may pop up if that growth comes up before we get a lot of other things for the bunnies to eat.
Okay. Hang on, Teresa. We'll take a bit of a break here for weather. Maybe when we come back, let's talk a little bit about the Arboretum.
Excellent.
And what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions for about another half hour. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We're here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions at 651-461-9226. We always like to mention the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. Just a wonderful resource, fun place to visit really any time of the year. But I wanted to ask you what's going on right now, Teresa.
What's going on right now? First of all, I was just giggling at it. We've reached our high already today.
Yes,
yay.
I'm afraid that's true.
Sorry. Okay, let's get back to work here. So there's a lot going on at the ARB, as usual. So because there's no snow, you can be walking and driving, I think, on 3 Mile Drive, head out and look at all the stuff that's going on, the buds that are swelling on the magnolias and the maples that are swelling. You can start to see the flowers on them. Did you know that your maple tree has flowers? Yes, it does. So you can go out and see that there. They also have the flower show going on through tomorrow. So if you need some spring, some beauty, head out to the Arboretum and enjoy the flower show inside. There's some orchids blooming and the conservatory. There's a lot, and the snowdrops are coming up. The double snowdrops are coming up. Those are our spring bulbs, some of our earlier spring bulbs, and they're just beautiful, those early minor bulbs. There's a lot going on out there. So make sure you get your reservation because it helps with parking. You have your reservation. Bring your family and friends, especially if they're in for the holiday over the weekend. And enjoy our beautiful arboretum. It's a true gem for our region. We're so
lucky. And you make those reservations online.
Online, yep.
Yep. All right, great place. Texter wants to know, what do you think of the practice of painting tree trunks white to ward off insects?
I don't know about how it works to ward off insects. I have not heard about that. I know in very hot climates, like in the Southwest, they will often paint the tree trunks white just to reflect some of the heat from the sun. I have not heard about painting it for insects. I'm not quite sure. Now I have research again. Thank you for that.
Little homework. All right.
Little homework.
We kind of touched on this last half hour. Denny and Teresa, tulips are coming up. Should we cover them or just let them be?
It's totally up to you. If it's going to get really cold and you don't like the look of burned and damaged leaves, go ahead and cover them. It's just at night and then lift it up in the morning again. It's not a big deal. If you're okay with a little damage on the leaves, just leave them up.
Okay.
And you don't have to cover.
Another text from a listener says, we dug up 4 ornamental grasses last week because we had a fence installed and they needed to be relocated. Mm-hmm. We transplanted them yesterday. Should we water them?
Yes, please do water them. They will be wonderful. And thank you for saving them.
Another question, should I remove the leaves that are on top of my clematis?
That's up to you. I would start taking some of them off just to help that soil start to warm up a little bit. Do understand that the more you take off, the soil will warm up. And then if we get really cold again, you could see some damage on some of the stems that come up. So I would just start taking some off. If you just have one bag of leaves, you can take it off and then just be ready to plop it on over. If we go really, 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 really cold, like say 25 or 20, but otherwise the clematis will just come up as it comes out of dormancy, and it should just be fine.
All right. Here's a question we get from time to time. Our rural yard is very lumpy. We think it's night crawlers. It's also full of gophers and voles. What do we do so it's easier to walk in the yard?
Just wait. The gophers and the moles, did they say voles or moles?
They said voles. Gophers and voles with a V.
Okay, with a V. Okay. So the gophers are possibly out there eating some of the grubs. The voles aren't eating any of the grubs. So you may want to double check to make sure you do have some night crawlers in there. There's not much you can really do, because if you're going to take a roller and roll it and compress the soil, the night crawlers will just come back again and make it lumpy again. And compressing the soil just makes it hard on the roots of the plants. I'm going to suggest that maybe you check out the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. Look on the lawn page. I know they do have some information about some things you can do on that. It's just kind of what happens sometimes when you get these critters in there. And yeah, the gophers, just be careful with the gophers if you're going to use the gopher killer or whatever you're going to do, that you just do be careful, because now you have the lumpy from the night crawlers are one thing, but when you get the gopher holes and things like that, that can be really painful if you twist or break an ankle. So just do be careful. You may want to address those issues.
This listener, Teresa, wants to know, when is the best time to move pine trees with a tree spade?
I would probably do it in the early spring. I would say, though, that I would talk to a certified arborist about that, or do go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. That's a lot of damage. But yep, I would probably do it early spring, as soon as you possibly can, as soon as the ground can be dug. Get those trees in, and then do remember that the bigger the tree is, the longer you have to take special care of it in its new location. Have that new location already dug, and sprinklers or underground watering, however you're going to do it, already taken care of when you get those trees in there. And then be very diligent about watering them.
Okay. I know we talked about tulips coming up, but this listener says, do I need to cover my shrubs if the buds have opened up?
No, I really wouldn't, unless you were going to look at a temperature like, say, 20 degrees. So it's so sharp and so different. If it's, you know, 30, 25, I would just let it go, especially for our hardy shrubs in our area. If you have something that's very tender, maybe a Japanese maple or something that's very zone iffy for you, then I would cover it on those really cold nights. But if it's an established shrub, you may get some damage to the buds, but most of them should be a little hardier. And yes, they're coming out, but they can handle some of this fluctuation.
All right, this time I want to ask your help in translating this one. And it's a simple question in that it's, first of all, it's not a long question, but what is the best blank to buy for our climate? And the word they put is spelled Forseity.
Oh, forsythia.
Okay.
This is forsythia.
I thought about that, but I thought it's too short of a word. But
it's
all right,
too short. I think that's what they were going for. It's a forsythia, which is a shrub that blooms yellow flowers in the spring, and it blooms on old wood. There are some. I would go for a dwarf variety if you can, because they can get big. I don't know the exact one that you would want to get, but there are a few that are hardy for our climates here. Look for the one that's hardy in your zone. If you're a zone 4 or 5, you should be okay. A zone 3, probably you're not going to find anything unless you have a microclimate. But look for something hardy to zone 4 at least, and that should get you by.
Okay. Thank you for the help there. Mm-hmm.
And remember, it blooms on old wood like your lilac. So it's setting its blooms on the wood it's growing this year. It's setting the flowers for next year.
It's good
so
to
that
know.
Will just impact how you prune it.
Absolutely. This listener, Teresa, has different varieties of arborvitae. They said, when I bought them, the tags stated the height and width of the trees. They are growing way taller than stated. Can I top them to stop the upward growth? If yes, when?
The tags lied. And it's good to look at the tags. That's good. I always tell people, though, you know, a plant doesn't get to 5 feet and just stop growing. If it stops growing, it dies. So it's still going to keep growing. So you have to kind of like keep pruning it down to that size that you want, and understand that 25-foot arborvitae will probably get to 30 or 35 feet. If you prune it earlier in its growth, you can slow the time. You can take a longer time. It takes longer to get to that 25 or 35 foot. Topping a tree is never the best thing, but if that's what you have, longer to get to that 25 or 35 foot. Topping a tree is never the best thing, but if that's what you have to do because it's going to be up in the wires or something, you can do that. I would do that as soon as possible. Just get out there, and you may want to have an arborist do this. If it's getting up that high, you don't want to be on a stepladder or something with any kind of chainsaw or pruning things. It's better to have a professional do it. And in that case, that arborist, then a professional arborist certified, would be able to tell you, this is the best way to handle this situation. They could see it in sight and handle it that way. So I would probably get a professional to do that, so it looks right, and they can give you some guidelines, what you're doing and how much to pull back.
Very good. Hang on, Teresa. A quick break is in order. We'll be back with more of our Smart Garden Show. Right now in the Twin Cities, it's 41 degrees, and it will be dropping to about 24 overnight. And as far as St. Patrick's Day, high tomorrow, partly sunny, near 34 tomorrow, and another windy day in order. All right, we'll be back. 41 degrees right now here in News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And after a little bit of technical difficulty, we are back. Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, and I. We've got a little bit of time left, Teresa, so let's see how many folks we can help out here. Could I plant, the texture says, bare root apple trees now?
Yes, go ahead and plant them.
Okay. Another one says, my daughter received a Christmas cactus several months ago, and she did not know she was supposed to remove the foil wrapping around the pot. This poor plant was swimming in water. She left it with me and with the texture. And as the plant dried out, all of the buds fell off. The leaves are finally have finally become firm again, but there are no signs of the buds coming back. Is it too late for this plant?
The plant will be just fine. You just won't get flowers this year. Just if you want to, you could even repot it at this time if you're afraid that the soil is still wet. But if the soil is drying out and the leaves seem to be recovering, it just means that it's just going to miss the flowers this year. You'll get flowers next year.
Okay. Do amaryllis bulbs get old? Texter wants to know. Had my bulbs in full sun last summer. Didn't show any signs of flowers. The bulbs are about 12 years old.
If they could, they could get old. I would give it another try this year to make sure they have lots of full sun and that maybe give them some nutrition, some fertilizer or something too as they're actively growing outside. Give them one more chance. And if you're not just happy with having them strappy leaves and that's you want more from it, then maybe it's time for them to head to the compost heap.
Okay. Do amaryllis bulbs get old? Where are we? That's just a repeat. When do I redo my iris beds, spring or fall? Would compost also be better to add or potting soil to the soil?
Okay. If they're the iris, the bearded iris that sit with the corms above the ground, best time is in August. Once they finish blooming, you cut back the fan of leaves, and then you can just transplant them and move them around at that time. If they're Siberian iris, I'm not 100% sure, so I don't want to tell you the wrong thing there. It would be after they bloom. I would either dig them up first before they bloom if they're Siberian, and just understand that if you can get them right away in the spring and as soon as they're coming up, you can divide them. Otherwise, wait till they finish blooming and then divide them.
Time once again to put on your entomologist hat. Texter says, we have a few box elder and Asian beetles in the house each year, but many more this year. Some box elder bugs are large, some small. Are they reproducing in the house? What do they eat? If we cut all box elder trees, will that reduce their numbers?
Don't cut the box elder trees because they'll just fly in from other places unless you hate your box elder trees and are replacing them with something else. That's up to you. They're just coming in because we just had, your house has been warmer than the outside. Sometimes the populations just get bigger, so the pressure to come inside is more. I don't know that they're reproducing in the house. They would need some moisture and some nutrition to do that. I think that you're probably just seeing maybe different stages of their growth that have come into the house and are just kind of hanging there all year or all winter. Again, just if you can, just, you know, put a light to attract them in the evening so they're not flying at you on the television. They're flying toward that light instead. And then just sweep them up carefully and then toss them back outside again. That's the easiest way. Some years you'll see a whole bunch and other years you'll hardly see any. It just depends on what's going on with the population.
Teresa, less than a couple of minutes to go on the show. You know, we haven't mentioned yet, and it's such a great resource, is the U of M Extension website.
extension.umn.edu. Oh, Denny, they have all kinds of cool information on there. There's even one whole article on the Master Gardener seed trial. So Master Gardeners try seeds and to see what varieties work for you. And they have the results on there for many different things that you might want to consider. Say, hey, the Master Gardener said this was a good variety of beans. Let me try these. And so that's an article you can find. There's a great information on resources for late winter gardening like we have now. And then what to do with winter damage if you see winter damage on your evergreens. Should you prune it? Should you not prune it? Should you wait? All those questions and others can be answered on extension.umn.edu.
It really is just loaded with information. You don't have to be a master gardener to translate that information
do you? It's for regular people. Master gardeners use this page so much, you'd be surprised. And there's in videos in there, too. So if you're more of a visual person, how to prune hydrangeas. Julie has a great video on that. So there's all kinds of great information. If you're a lawn person, go there.
Oh, that lawn care information is fantastic,
it's
among other things.
Too much to even consider.
There is. We have to run, Teresa. Always a pleasure having you on the radio with me.
My pleasure. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks so much. That's Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions today. Now, you can get your home improvement questions answered next hour with Andy Lindis on our Home Improvement Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.